Regulators, mount up. We're coming.
It is time for Green and Gold This Week.
What the hell's going on out here?
Presented by Glenn's Market and Catering.
Big dogs are in the house!
722 West Main Street in Watertown. For all your market and catering needs, call Glenn today, 920-261-2226.
But they are who we thought they were.
Connect with the show by email at greenandgoldthisweek@yahoo.com.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked.
Or tweet at WXRO Radio.
See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
Now, live from Glenn's Market and Catering in Watertown, here's Bill Johnson.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him.
And Jesse Nelson.
Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown, where once again it is time for Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street here in Watertown. Jesse Nelson will join us coming up in just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Packers' second straight win, 23-17. I don't know, 21-13 over the Houston Texans at Lambeau Field to move to 6-6. And all of a sudden, the talk turns to running the table. If the Packers could do that, they would finish 10-6 and likely be in really good position to win the NFC North Division. So we'll talk about that, and if they're going to do that, they're going to have to get by the Seattle Seahawks, maybe the toughest opponent left on their remaining schedule. That's coming up this Sunday at Lambeau Field. That's a 3:25 start time. You can catch all the action at 1 o'clock either on 1430 WBEV or 95.3 WXRO, whichever your little heart desires. When we come back, Jesse Nelson will join us. We'll tell you about our sweet ride of the week, brought to you by Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam. Plus, Glenn will have a tailgate tip for us as well. It's Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street, Watertown.
You know, weather reports can change, so I think the closer you get to the game, it's the better. So, and that's when we talk about those things, and we talk about the officials, and just kind of wrapping it up at that point.
That is Packers head coach Mike McCarthy. It is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown. Jesse Nelson joins us.
We all gotta believe.
Yeah. Well, and it becomes a lot more believable if they can beat the Seahawks.
No, we gotta believe we can beat the Seahawks. Like, you don't believe that Santa puts the presents under the tree. You believe that Santa's able to get the sleigh up in the air to deliver the presents under the tree.
Ah.
So you gotta believe they can get to the playoffs because you gotta believe that they can beat the Seahawks.
Well, and really, they should beat the Seahawks. Seahawks aren't a good team on their own.
Yeah, they're not.
Their offense has
scored 5 points their last game on
awful.
The road.
Yeah, their offense has been terrible on the road. So I can't explain that. I don't know what that is. But fact of the matter is, they're just not a very good team on the road. Now, they are a better late-season team than an early-season team.
Yes, they are.
Look at that. You got a fan right there.
I think he's your fan.
No, I don't think so. Kids are afraid of me.
I think he thinks you're Santa Claus. He wants to sit on your lap and ask for some presents.
Starting to look more like Santa. If I had the hat, I could probably pull it off.
I think you'd be getting there, yeah.
Yeah, but I think if they beat the Seahawks, I think you can legitimately start to talk about them running the table. That doesn't mean they're going to do it, and that doesn't mean that they won't go and, you know, hand in a C-minus in Chicago or in Detroit.
Well, let's look back, because they've been good the last two games. We talked last week about the Monday night performance in Philadelphia, and we look back today on the performance that they had Sunday against the Texans. Now, how much of the performance defensively was aided by the snow compared to how much did they just stop the Texans? Because now back-to-back games, they've given up 13 points. That appears to be the key to victory, is right. The defense needs to play well. Two games in a row, they've done a fine job.
Well, and I think what that says, too, in part, number one, some guys are getting healthier. Some guys are coming back. You know, and they've had Randall back the last couple of weeks. They've had Rollins back. But neither one of those guys was one-on-one with DeAndre Hopkins. That was Ladarius Gunter, who was public enemy number one after the Titans game. And I think what this says is, I mean, this is the way that this team wins, and this is the way that draft and develop works, is you have young players, and they might not play well when they're young and when they're inexperienced. But experience makes them better if they're good players. And I think Ladarius Gunter is proof positive that guys get better. You know, so when people lose their minds, when the Fire Ted crew loses their minds and decides that they should, you know, mortgage Lambeau Field in order to go out and get every free agent they could possibly get, I mean, this is how it works. Does it always work exactly right? No. Have they won a Super Bowl since 2010? No. But Gunter is an example of a guy that has gotten better.
So can it work against Seattle?
Yeah, I think so. Because and the main reason is their offense is nothing to write home about. The thing that concerns me the most about their offense,
Seattle's offense,
is Wilson running.
The mobility of Russell Wilson, being able to create plays on the go,
because
out of the pocket and launching it downfield or taking off himself, yeah.
If I was Pete Carroll, I'd have him tuck it in and run. You know, I'd employ the old Colin Kaepernick strategy.
Yeah.
Look for your first read, and if your first read's not open, tuck it in and run. Because the Packers have proven in the past that they're not very good against that strategy.
But if you're not able to defend that, and that's what Russell Wilson presents, you've got to know. So I heard a really interesting thing the other day from Michael Lombardi, former GM, does a lot of stuff with, I believe, Fox Sports now. He gave a really interesting viewpoint of taking you inside a locker room and inside a managerial office in the NFL. Every team has one Tuesday guy. And by a Tuesday guy, they mean after you review the tape from the week and you start preparing for the following week, who's the first guy Tuesday morning that you look at the other team and say, what are we going to do about him?
Sure.
And with the Packers, it's Aaron Rodgers. And you can go around the NFL. With the Vikings, it's Adrian Peterson. And with the Patriots, it's Tom Brady. With the Seahawks, is it Russell Wilson or is it one of their defensive guys?
It's Russell Wilson. It's still Russell Wilson.
He's the guy you're most afraid of on the Seahawks. Because to me, it would be Earl Thomas would be one of the big guys. Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, and just the secondary in general for the Seahawks. What are we going to do about the secondary?
Yeah.
That would be the first question I would ask on Tuesday morning if I'm in an office in Green Bay. What are we going to do about that secondary? Because we've had a lot of success throwing the football, but now we're going up against one of the best secondaries in the NFL. Now, this isn't Houston or Philadelphia anymore. We're back to basics here against one of the best teams. So Glenn thinks they're going to crush the Seahawks. He might crush my mini plastic helmet on the table here in the next minute and a half. But what are you going to do about the Seahawks secondary would be my primary concern.
Well, I mean, and I think that if you're the Packers, I don't think when your passing game is on point, you don't worry about that. When your passing game is working well, you don't concern yourself with who you're playing. They got to worry about playing you.
You really think it doesn't matter at all? So like the Packers can go out there on Sunday, and first drive they're going to be able to whip it down the field, and it's not going to make any difference whether they're playing.
I'm not saying that's necessarily going to work. I'm just saying they don't go into a game fearing anybody. As Mike McCarthy said, we're nobody's underdog, and that's the way that they feel. That's the way that they are, and especially with their receivers and their quarterback. They don't care who they're playing.
So I guess I like where your stance is on this then, because if Russell Wilson is the most dangerous weapon for Seattle, and that's how you think the Seahawks are going to win the game, that's how I think the Seahawks are going to win the game, is by Russell Wilson making plays, then that means the extra preparation throughout the week you would hope would go into how can they stop Russell Wilson. How can they stop Russell Wilson?
I would think... You know, and unless they looked at their film and they've decided that Russell Wilson only runs as often as Aaron Rodgers does now, and I don't know if that's the case. I haven't really seen the Seahawks play that much.
He doesn't run much, but he's able to get out of the pocket and create plays downfield. It's just like what he did at Wisconsin.
Sure.
He didn't run a ton at Wisconsin,
right.
But he extended plays when other guys like John Stocco would have gone down.
Right.
And that's what he brings to the table. Is he has great field vision, great presence. He sees the game happening before it happens.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him such a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Aaron Rodgers does as well. Aaron has a little better of an arm.
Right.
And Russell Wilson has a little better with the legs. So they're very evenly matched. They're very good competitive rivals. And this has been an interesting rivalry to watch now over the last, what, 4 or 5 years, as both teams have peaked. And this is a very telling game, I think, this week about who's in a better position going forward, the Packers or the Seahawks.
Here's the thing, though. After all this time with the Seahawks, you know, and I think that a lot of Packer fans, you know, glance lovingly at Pete Carroll and the Seahawks. They've only won one Super Bowl, too.
Yeah. Well, and what, they were, what, a yard away from winning another one?
They've only won one Super Bowl.
It was a yard.
And I guess if I'm a Seahawks fan, the one thing I noticed about that team, it seems like they have a lot more widespread support among their fan base than the Packers do. They don't get the same type of criticism that the Packers do. If I'm a Seahawks fan, my question is, why isn't their offense any better? Because I like Wilson. I think Russell Wilson's a top five quarterback in the NFL. I don't think there's any question about that. Is it the fact that he doesn't have enough good weapons? Is it the scheme? Is it the offensive line? Now, we talked about this a couple of years ago. When they gave up Max Unger and they got Jimmy Graham back in return, they gave up their best offensive lineman. Is it that their offensive line just isn't good enough?
Well, I think that goes back, when you talk about that aspect of it, they knew that their offense was going to be struggling, and so they went out and got another weapon for Russell Wilson, because, now to bring it full circle, Russell Wilson's the Tuesday guy. The offensive line for the Seahawks isn't the Tuesday guy. It's what can we do to better Russell Wilson to make him an unstoppable force in this league?
They went out and got
Jimmy Graham, and it didn't pan out the way they thought it would,
right.
But I think that's more on Jimmy Graham not playing to his ability and not incorporating well into that offense.
Well, whether it's Jimmy Graham's fault or not, John Schneider, the sainted general manager of the Seattle Seahawks, went out and traded away his best offensive lineman, and his offense hasn't been as good ever since.
So you're asking, why isn't there any criticism for John Schneider
Thompson? If I were a Seahawks fan, because I think that that's the thing. I think that, you know, when you bring up, well, who should replace Ted Thompson? John Schneider's the first name that comes up. And to me, that's just a glaring error on his part. And I thought it was a mistake at the time. I called him out on it at the time. I would have liked to have seen Jimmy Graham in a Packer uniform, but would I have traded away the Packers' best offensive lineman for him? I guess if I would have known they were just going to cut Josh Sitton.
I was going to say, you wouldn't have cut the Packers' best offensive lineman 2 years later, so,
right.
Yeah.
No, I guess if I would have known they were just going to cut Josh Sitton anyway, then I would have done it. But I wouldn't have done that, because you couple that with the fact that Marshawn Lynch retired. And I mean, that's the other thing. How surprised were they by the fact that Marshawn Lynch retired? And that is, if they were surprised, is that another strike against John Schneider?
Yeah, those are all great questions.
See, and this is the part that I don't get. Whenever people talk about firing McCarthy, they talk about bringing in Peyton. Peyton is coming off back-to-back 7-9 seasons and a suspension.
Sean Payton, you're talking
yes.
about.
Whenever they talk about firing Ted Thompson, they talk about bringing in John Schneider. Number one, John Schneider ain't coming back. You're not going to chain him up and make him come back to Green Bay and be the general manager. But number two, is he any better than Ted Thompson? If you think Ted Thompson is so bad, tell me exactly how John Schneider is better than Ted Thompson.
Yeah, those are all interesting points. But I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here in thinking that there's going to be any kind of a change. And if there is a change, will any of these guys even be available to come in and step in and be the guys that we go to next? I think what you're doing is you're comparing the franchises, the Packers and the Seahawks, and where they each are at. And we talk about the competitive rivalry that's been going on this decade between the two teams and the two, I'll call them programs, but the two teams in general, from top to bottom, including management and even the fan bases. And there's interesting comparisons. One Super Bowl apiece, like you said. Great offensive quarterback, great mind, one of the best field presences in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, both the same. Both teams seem to have issues finding a running back right now. The Packers have the one that the Seahawks had this year, who is the Seahawks' leading rusher to this date in the season.
Yeah.
Questions on certain aspects of the offense and defense, certain aspects of coaching. Both have lost lots of assistants that have gone on and had very little success elsewhere in the NFL. So it's interesting, Pete Carroll, Mike McCarthy, as you compare those two. John Schneider and Ted Thompson, as you compare those two. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, as you compare those two. It's like Batman and Superman, as you look at them. They each have their own strengths and weaknesses, and you can debate all day which one's better. In the end, they're both really good in their own way.
Sure.
And this is going to be another test this time around where both teams look at an NFC landscape that is winnable. When the number one seed is going to have a rookie quarterback, a rookie running back, and anything can happen in any given week in the playoffs where that rookie can have a bad day and suddenly the Cowboys are going to lose, the NFC's, in my mind, still wide open, even though Dallas is the best team.
Right.
So Seattle's competing for the number two seed. Green Bay is competing to get in, period. And I think this is a very telling game this week as they go at it. Do the Packers mentally focus and dial in throughout this week and come with a ready game plan? I think this is a big challenge for Mike McCarthy as well. Do they have a game plan ready to take down the mighty Seattle Seahawks to keep this season alive? Or do the Seahawks come in and write their woes on the road over the last few weeks and see this as an opportunity to get that much closer to Dallas and to lock up that number two seed?
Well, it's one of the things McCarthy said, too. I think that, you know, sometimes we overthink it. It comes down to fundamentals, and it comes down to the thing that he really emphasized this week, and I could agree with him. You know, his team comes in a minus five in turnovers. Seattle comes in plus six. They got to win the turnover margin. That's the most important thing. You start with that. You got to hang on to the ball, and you got to make them cough it up.
They recovered a fumble against Houston on Sunday for the first time since the Dallas game.
Right.
Just think about that. How many fumbles are there in the NFL? There's one or two a game at least. This was the first one they recovered since the beginning of October, maybe even late September, right, wherever the game was played.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Absolutely. It is Green and Gold this week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street, Watertown.
You know, we got to take care of it. I mean, it's winter football, it's December football, and it's a priority.
There it was, very simple. Mike McCarthy,
got to take care of the football. It's like he was listening.
Green and Gold this week. Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he listens.
I mean, you can listen on demand on WXRRadio.com.
Sure, I think that's probably what he does. He's a busy character.
Go to that podcast tab if you miss any of the show.
They're just winding up practice right now, I would think. They started at 3 today. His schedule continues to be quirky at best. It's Green and Gold this week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown. I want to tell you about the Sweet Ride of the Week, brought to you by Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam. It is a 2011 Dodge Journey four-door SUV. It's one of those where it seats seven. You got room in the back, too.
Oh.
Got seats back there, for folks. It is fantastic. It's all loaded up. I got that great Sirius XM radio in there again. I was listening to the Grateful Dead channel all day long.
You didn't listen to Journey in a Journey?
Mm-mm. No, I listened to Grateful Dead, another San Francisco band.
Be some good Journeyception going on there.
Yeah, that it's a fantastic deal, a 2011, a local trade. So the guys at Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they know everything about the life of this vehicle. They've been servicing it ever since they sold it in the first place. Get this, 2011 Dodge Journey, just $9,000. $9,000 for an SUV that seats seven. Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam. You track down Brent Reed. You tell that rascal you want the Sweet Ride of the Week. Brought to you by Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam. It is Green and Gold this week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering. Packers set to take on the Seahawks. It is a 3:25 start time on Sunday.
Nick Perry's hurt.
Yep. Nick Perry,
that stinks.
Was another announcement that Mike McCarthy made today. He has a significant hand injury and will not play this week. So a significant hand injury. He was asked whether or not in coming weeks he could put a club on and play, and he was as helpful as he usually is when you ask him anything about injuries. So I don't know. Now, we have a soundbite coming up later. I don't know who the poor sap was that asked him the question, but somebody in the gathered mass of media asked him a question about the 98-yard drive versus the Texans, and he just lost his mind. And I know for a fact, I've asked him questions about the previous game, and he didn't even give me a hard time about it. So he must have really hated this guy or something.
But let's talk about that, because that was a, to me, one of those defining moments of the season. The 98-yard drive when you needed it most there against the Texans. I thought that was just huge. And it's not just that they did it, but it's how they did it. And it was the dink and dunk passes that were working.
Right.
And you had Jordy Nelson step up big on that. And you had just a number of different guys get receptions. You saw the offensive line blocking well for Aaron Rodgers, giving him the time to find the open man. But they also did some quick passes as well. And it just exemplified what this offense can look at its best, which is moving both quickly and taking some time and both going deep and dropping it off.
Sure.
It looked great.
Well, and with the Packers offense, it still all comes down to the guy making the decisions, the trigger man. And he's the best in the business at it. And I think we forget that sometimes, unfortunately. But he was fantastic again. He was pushing all the right buttons again. And I sometimes think he might be a little better when he's dinged. Because I think when he's dinged, I think he's even more focused. He's already got a laser focus. But I think he's even a little more focused when he's got a little bit of an injury to deal with. And especially when he's got a limitation like he had in last week's game. And I thought he was fantastic. And the other thing, it was great to see Jordy Nelson looking like Jordy Nelson again.
Didn't it? I mean, it was fun. Got a really nice touchdown pass there where he was wide open. He was aided by the defender falling down. But, I mean, just the route that he ran, he would have been open even if the other defender had stayed up.
Right.
And Rodgers made a great throw. He had a little extra time because, again, the guy fell down. So how much can you read into it there? I guess they can be a little up for grabs. But, Jordy Nelson had a great game start to finish. And I think it really started that game in Philadelphia. You started to see him emerge a little more as one of the go-to weapons. And you start to wonder, was he still a little banged up to start the season? And perhaps he's just kind of hitting his stride, feeling at 100%, being able to sprint at 100% now, coming back from that injury from well over a year ago.
Right. I think it's a combination of things. I think it always takes a little while for a player to get back completely, especially when you play as little as Jordy Nelson played during the preseason. And I'm not saying that they should trot him out there and make him play a whole game during the preseason, but that's just a fact. The preseason is just practice for the established veterans. They don't play at all anymore.
Right.
So, I think it maybe took him a while to kind of feel out what he could do and what he couldn't do. I still haven't seen him high point a ball on the sideline yet. I wonder if that's just not part of his repertoire anymore, which is fine. I mean, that was one thing that made him really special. But it's very possible that that's just not part of his, that's not a bullet he has in his gun anymore. So that's absolutely fine if that's the case.
Is he really that good looking of a guy?
What?
Jordy Nelson, is he really that good-looking of a guy?
I
because all the ladies woo over Jordy Nelson.
Is Jordy Nelson a good-looking guy? Anyone? Okay, see? Now, in our informal poll, Jordy Nelson is a good-looking guy.
Yes, one, two,
how in the world
three.
Would we know? You know?
I just wanted, like,
what, where in the
when
world
I look at him, he looks like a farm boy. And I'm like, I don't know. He doesn't look like he's all that good-looking. I thought Donald Driver was a better-looking guy than Jordy Nelson.
Well, let's delve a little deeper into this then, Jesse. who do you think is a good-looking man?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he's a good-looking man.
Yeah.
Who else? Brad Pitt, talking, he's a pretty good-looking man.
Are you talking third rock hit record Joe or current hit record Joe?
Probably current. I don't know. Who do you think is a good-looking man, Bill?
I never started talking about good-looking men. This is all your
no. This just
right
threw me off. I was talking to people on Sunday, watching the game, and one of the things that came up was he ain't that good-looking of a guy. He's got kind of a baby face.
Well, but I think he has rugged good looks, and I think that those rugged good looks appeal to some women. You know, that's like some women. I don't understand women that likes to fight guy. There's plenty of women that likes to fight guy.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I never thought that made any sense, but it's a fact.
They'd like Penn State actually, fans if that's the case. I learned that over the weekend.
We actually did a poll on the show, and we had plenty of the women calling in saying they do like likes to fight guy.
Huh.
So there you have it. Jordy Nelson is not likes to fight guy. Jordy Nelson seems to be a very good, genuine dude.
Do the Packers have a likes to fight guy?
Well, they probably have a number of them. We just don't know about it. I'm trying to think who it was. You know, maybe that's an unfair to judge it, but Gray Rugemer was, I was never a big fan of his, and I think he was kind of a likes to fight guy.
See, I think that's kind of one thing right now that the team doesn't really have an attitude. And maybe they needed Aaron Rodgers to come to the podium, 2 weeks ago and say, I think we can run the table. Because Rodgers is kind of the attitude guy. Yeah. Where the team kind of follows him, and they don't have that guy like Richard Sherman, or they don't have that Dez Bryant character that'll get up in someone's face if there's an issue.
I mean,
I don't say you want that guy.
They got Mike Daniels.
Is Mike Daniels the guy?
Yeah, Mike Daniels is the guy on defense for sure, I think. Peppers is more of a Ryan Braun lead by example kind of guy, but I think Daniels is that kind of get in your face, rah rah.
Is Daniels vocal enough to do that?
Knock the water cooler over type guy. Sure.
See, I always got this vibe that Daniels was more of kind of a soft spoken leader.
Well, and I think that when
kind of like Peppers.
When you talk about having that guy, you know, you got to make sure that it doesn't seem fake. When it's coming out of that guy. You know, I think a lot of what Sherman does to me seems fake. I think, you know, because everybody talks about, you know, what a brilliant kid Sherman was, and he went to Stanford, and, I mean, it's a great story. He's not this lunatic that, you know, screams at Aaron Andrews after a football game.
Yeah.
I just think you have to be careful, especially at the professional level with that rah-rah stuff. You have to be careful that it doesn't come across as fake.
And that's why I think Rodgers was brilliant a couple of weeks ago. And he said, yeah, I think we can run the table. That was a subtle challenge to his teammates, saying, we all need to step up. Sure. We know what we need to do. Now's the time. But I think we can do it.
No, but I heard somebody else mention it, too, and it was more along the lines of what I was thinking. When he got criticized for that, somebody said, well, what's he supposed to do? Well, I think we're going to lose to the Seahawks and the Vikings, but other than that, I think we're going to win.
I mean, good point.
You know, I mean, that's when players come out, that's kind of what he has to say because they think they're going to win every single game. So
I've learned a lot this segment. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Still to come, we have our tailgate tip of the week from Glenn. Also, the sweet ride of the week, a 2011 Dodge Journey, one of those great seven-seater SUVs. It's fantastic. It's got a ton of room. It's got Sirius XM radio that's fantastic. And it's just $9,000. It's the sweet ride of the week at Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam. It is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown.
Mike, now that you've had a chance to look at the tape, that 98-yard drive, what did you like about that, and what can you use from that drive? Do you think you can build up moving forward?
You talking about our last game? Yeah, we played Seattle. This is Wednesday, huh? Yeah, it was a hell of a drive, but we've moved on. It's, shoot.
He's funny.
He tried to go Belichick and say we're moving on to Seattle, but he kind of stumbled into it by going over the top with the reaction.
Yeah. It was just a ridiculous notion. And the guy was asking just a great butt kiss question too.
Yeah.
You know, you're the greatest coach. Tell us about what great happened to you on Sunday. And he just drove the kid into the ground.
Was it like an intern or something that was asking that?
I don't know. I didn't make it this week.
Oh.
I got it off of Packers.com, so we can hear all the questions. I didn't recognize the voice. And there's certain guys, I mean, I recognize Wilde, and I recognize Huber, and I recognize the regular guys. I didn't recognize him, so I'm thinking, and also, judging how far away he was, it was one of the TV guys from up top. So I think he thinks that they're all just kind of like
new hotshot TV guy from Appleton was
asking. They're all just like helper monkeys anyway.
Yeah, so, that must be it. Helper monkeys.
It is Green and Gold This Week at Yahoo.com. Green and Gold This Week at Yahoo.com. Or you can tweet us at 95. What is it? At WXRO,
at WXRO Radio.
Radio. You're so confused about that.
Tweet us at WXRO Radio.
At WXRO Radio. You'll be in business for sure. The question arose then, too, if they run the table, where does that put them?
So, again, just looking at the remaining games for the Packers, there's only, what, three now? Four. Seattle, Chicago, Minnesota, Detroit. Two of those games at home, Seattle and Minnesota. Chicago and Detroit on the road. It's alternating weeks. Oh, my God, I think I'm going to be in Chicago the week they're playing at the Bears.
If they run,
that's a disaster.
If they run the table, but if the Lions run the table up until that point, the Lions still win the division.
Yeah, then that last game wouldn't matter.
Twice.
So for the sake of the argument, let's look at Detroit's remaining schedule. Home this week against the Bears. At the Giants, who are 8-4.
Yeah.
At Dallas, who could have everything wrapped up by then. And home against the Packers. So the at Dallas game is interesting. That's Monday Night Football. And I think if Dallas has... So, hypothetically, if the Packers beat the Seahawks this week, I think if the Cowboys win, they've got it all set up. Like, they are the number one seed. So, if that happens, then I think Glenn's sitting down here like we're going to play poker all of a sudden. Like, this is the most serious game ever. So, if...
I think Glenn's cold.
I think so, too. He's huddling for warm.
He's wrapped himself in placemats. <apparently.
laughs> Someone did dress himself today. If Dallas wins and the Packers beat the Seahawks, I believe Dallas would have the NFC wrapped up as the number one seed. So I look at that Monday night game against Detroit, and it's not going to be the cakewalk that we think it's going to be for Dallas, that Detroit's automatically going to lose that game. What it could be is the Tony Romo showcase game, where Jerry Jones says to Jason Garrett, "We're in prime time. Everybody's watching this game. You're playing Tony Romo. You're showing everyone what he can do. Dak's sitting on the bench, and this is Tony's game. Put him out there. Let him play well so that we can trade him in the offseason and get a great contract."
They're still going to win.
So they could still beat Detroit, but I'm saying that's one way to look at it. The other way is Dak could come out and play the first half, then Romo could come in cold, play the second half, and it could just be kind of a disaster where all the starters are sitting by the end of it.
See,
and Detroit would win.
That was what they did with Montana at the end in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Montana, remember, because Montana had missed a whole season.
Oh, no, I don't remember. I don't think I was around when that happened.
It could be, yeah. but he had missed a whole season, and ironically enough, they brought him back Week 16 Monday Night Football against the Lions. And I don't remember if he came out and started or if he just played the second half, but he came out and played well, and that was where they were able to make that trade with Kansas City, and he played the last few years of his career there.
Yeah, that's an interesting... Just something to keep in mind as the season progresses here. But I think the dangerous game for Detroit is at the Giants. Because I think Dallas beats the Giants this week. And then the Giants are just like the Packers and a lot of these other teams playing for their wild card berth. And that's a must-win game for Eli and the Giants. And I think they've got the kind of team build, team makeup that can take out Detroit. I just like the matchup that the Giants present against them. It's kind of like the Packers. I think the Packers match up well with Detroit, as we saw earlier this year.
And I think anytime, as much as they prepare for it, anytime you take a dome team and you put them in the cold in December, it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
And that's at least two of the matchups that Detroit has to face.
Yeah.
Down the stretch. Are they playing Dallas at home? That's at Dallas.
Yes.
I mean, and that weather, as we've seen from the Super Bowl, can be kind of hit and miss.
And we got to keep an eye on Minnesota, too, because remember, they're not just out of this thing right now. We got to keep an eye on Minnesota. Now, if the Packers beat the Vikings head-to-head, that would do wonders for them getting ahead of it. If the Packers run the table, that would take care of business. It'd be nice for the Vikings to lose here.
He looks perplexed. He looks like he wants to say something.
They play...
Isn't this the Green and Gold Show?
Yeah, we're looking at the schedule ahead to see how the Packers can get in with some help.
No, you're not. You talked about the way I'm dressed today. I didn't tell you nothing about your mini skirt on, okay?
My mini skirt? Well, I never. At Jacksonville, the Vikings are this week. Be nice for Jacksonville to win a meaningful game this year. Then they're at home against the Colts. That's no cakewalk because they look good now. And then at Green Bay and home against Chicago to close out the year. So I think all these teams kind of have similar schedules. There's one very losable game on every schedule. There's another one that's kind of middle of the road. We'll see how it goes. And the other two appear to be wins. So So we will see how it plays out in the NFC North. You got three teams that are essentially vying for one spot because it doesn't appear that either of the teams are going to be good enough for the wild card.
The last wild card right now is Tampa, and they're 7-5.
Yeah, and I think they look really good right now.
But
they're clicking.
I mean, it's not inconceivable that they could lose a game or two down the stretch either.
No, it's not. It's not inconceivable that a number of these teams could lose, but it's also not inconceivable that Carolina could get hot and go on a run here down the stretch, or Arizona, or Washington. But that's the thing about the NFC, and that's why I said at the start of the show, we've got to believe. It's like getting Santa in the air on the sleigh. We got to believe. We got to give them the spirit here, because if the Packers can get into the playoffs, the NFC is a very winnable conference. Dallas isn't amazing. They win a lot of games, but they don't look sexy doing it. So I want to see what the Packers can do in the postseason against Seattle and Dallas and whoever else is going to be there. Atlanta, Washington, Tampa. Those aren't teams that scare me.
Right.
Not this year.
Right.
Not when I've got Aaron Rodgers.
It is Green and Gold this week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown.
Mike, now that you've had a chance to look at the tape, that 98-yard drive, what did you like about that? And what can you use from that drive? Do you think you can build up moving forward?
Talking about our last game? Yeah, we played Seattle. This is Wednesday, isn't it? Yeah, it was a hell of a drive. But we've moved on. It's, Nick Perry, he has a significant hand injury, and he will not be available this week. We're going to reassess on Monday and see where we are for Chicago.
That is Packers head coach Mike McCarthy, as we had a redo on his earlier exchange with one of the local TV guys.
It was worth it.
And then that was him breaking the news to everybody that Nick Perry was not going to play because of that significant hand injury. He doesn't know whether or not Perry's going to put on a club and play in the coming weeks or whatever the deal is. But the injuries continue to hit the Packers as they get set to take on the Seahawks.
I think that could be a big difference in this week's game, too.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
He's a difference maker.
I think the fact that they've been able to shoot fresh pass rushers out there all season long, now all of a sudden they're going to be down to who? It's going to be Peppers, who had more snaps last week than he's played all year.
Yeah.
But looks like he's coming into form and playing very well. Matthews is probably still going to be on the inside, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
So then it's Dayton. Uh-huh. Is going to get the end. And then maybe Jayron Elliott gets some snaps. And I've always liked him rushing.
Unless they go to any rookies, yeah, it'd probably be Jayron Elliott.
Yeah. Joining us now here at Glenn's Market and Catering is the proprietor of Glenn's Market and Catering. It's Glenn. Coach Glenn. Father Glenn.
Coach.
Coach Father Glenn.
No, let's not go that far.
That is...
You said it just 2 minutes ago.
Well, I did. But we were off the air then.
It's different. I was confessing to you, Father Glenn.
Yes, you were. I believe you're just plain guilty about taking off a day.
Yeah.
No, I was actually sick. I'm not doing this again. We did it all morning today. I'm not doing this again.
You have to quit telling the story to unsympathetic ears.
I just expect that one person is going to be on my side, that you can take a sick day from work and go see a movie.
you forgot that I'm the employer. We don't like sick days.
Absolutely. Well, it's time for the Glenn's Market and Catering tailgate tip of the week. And the tailgate tip of the week, as I walked back into the back area of the store hurriedly, I saw that you got a ton of great gift boxes back there right now.
Yes, we do. Is that feedback coming back? No.
Yeah, you just have to not put the mic in front of the speaker and everything will be cool.
Okay.
You see, you and Jimi Hendrix.
Wow. Gift boxes we got gift boxes. This is the time of the season. Mm-hmm. We're going to send out about 600 or 700 this week.
Yeah.
And then next week it's kind of peeled off already by that time. But Christmas is coming.
Sure.
Christmas dinner, prime rib, $9.95.
Ooh, boy.
Home cured hams, $2.99 or $3.29 for a pit ham. Ground round. Cheese and sausage trays, almost anything you want. Beef and gravy, turkey and gravy.
Ooh, I love me some beef and gravy.
Yeah, turkey and gravy, barbecued pork, pork and juice, pork and all kinds of good things.
It sounds side dishes. You got side dishes around here?
Of course. Yeah. Hash brown casserole.
Oh, got it.
Twice baked potatoes. Yeah. Almost anything you're looking for. Tenderloins.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
So, we have a lot of things on sale. Just go check out glensmarket.com. The other part is that just come down and visit for a while and wander.
Sure.
That's Glenn with two N's, market.com.
Sick boy, just keep quiet.
I'm telling people how to find your website.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
You don't want them looking up Glenn with one N, Glenn's Market. That could be somewhere out in Hawaii, for all we know.
Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
There is one. Yeah, yeah.
Sick boy.
Sick boy.
All right, well, let's...
Let's
take a look. Actually, we only have the one game to pick now because we won't have the Cotton Bowl to pick until the week between Christmas and New Year's. And actually, it'll be a substitute bill here then. I'll send my Bill Cyborg down for that show.
Why don't I just do it for you?
Oh, you could do it.
The two of us just, we can make it more interesting, probably.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Bill, you stink.
I have no idea what you're talking about most of the time.
I've been doing this for 21 years, so I've never heard that before.
You ain't got it right yet, huh?
True, absolutely. All right.
We'll get Uncle Bill down here instead.
Yeah.
All right.
Do the barn show from here, too.
So just one game for you to pick this week,
click,
Glenn.
Plick. Plick, plick. I think it'll be Green Bay, but it'll be close.
Yeah?
They got to show up.
The odds makers have Seattle installed as a 2.5-point favorite at Lambeau Field.
Oh, actually, last week's game was kind of cool, wasn't it? In the snow and whatever.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Terrible to be at, but fun to watch.
Yeah.
I love those games.
And how was the game in
Indianapolis? Well,
I think
the first half was fantastic.
Well, but they had they played a good game.
Well, the secondary didn't.
Oh, Debbie Downer, come on.
I'm a little upset that I spent the money I did on tickets for that game, and it resulted as it did.
Oh, boy.
So,
did you ever realize that when a team, most of the sports in this world, except for when you're eighth grade or second grade, end up in somebody loses? Did you ever have that figured out yet?
No.
This is why we consult Father Glenn for advice. What a motivational speech. A lot of times teams lose.
Can I cheer
for my team to win and be upset when they don't win? Or do I have to congratulate them when they lose?
I think you got a head cold. I think that's your problem.
I see what Glenn's trying to do, but he's actually trying to make me give the Badgers a participation trophy.
Oh, yeah. We should have a second segment for Glenn. We should have Glenn's tailgate tip of the week. But then earlier in the show, when Glenn is wandering around picking up the microphone and bashing the helmets together, we could have a segment called Tough Love with Father Glenn.
We're Glenn comes sitting fireside. Now you see, kids.
Glenn comes in and tells Jesse how worthless and weak he is. I like this.
I didn't tell him that, no. I didn't.
Just tell him to join the morning show every day.
But I think we're going to win, but not by much. Maybe 15-12, something like that. It's going to be low scoring.
Yeah. All right. A field goal festival. All right.
Fun.
Cool. Glenn, we'll do it again next week. Thank you very much.
All right.
I'll be here. Take care. We will, too.
See you next week, Glenn.
Glenn of Glenn's Market and Catering.
Always fun talking to you.
Host of Glenn's Tailgate Tip of the Week and Tough Love with Father Glenn.
I hope you don't call in sick next week, because it'll be really bad the week after.
He's never going to call in sick again after this, Glenn. That's good.
Most people would have been back at work after that surgery you had the next day.
He was here.
4 days, my boy.
The ghost of Glenn was walking around when we were doing
the show.
That's
right, he was. Dang it.
All right. One game to pick this week. It is the Packers and the Seahawks at Lambeau Field. 3:25 start time. 1 o'clock pregame on either one of the stations you want to listen to it on. 95.3 WXRO or 1430 WBEV.
Now, the last couple of weeks, the Packers have won games by scoring in the 20s and limiting the other team to 13. They've won when I picked on the morning show for the Packers to lose, and on this show for the Packers to win. So we're going to repeat that magic again.
Okay.
I'm going to combine the best of both worlds. Earlier today, I said the Seahawks would come into Lambeau Field and get the win. Of course, I said that very disingenuously. I just had to do it for the tradition and to keep the streak alive. What I really think is going to happen, I don't think Glenn's all that far off. I think it's going to be a low-scoring battle in the trenches. I don't think Seattle's going to have a ton of offense in this game, but I think Seattle's defense is really going to limit the Packers and force some turnovers. The Packers lose the turnover battle, but they win the game on a last-second Mason Crosby field goal, 20-17. The Green Bay Packers defeat the Seattle Seahawks.
All right. I see it differently, shockingly enough. I think that with all the hype coming in about how this is going to be a tight game and they're playing the Seahawks and the Seahawks are a tough team and they got a great defense, I think the Packers are going to get the ball marched down and score. I think they're going to get a turnover and score. I think they're going to three and out them, get the ball back and score. I think it's going to be 21-0 in the first half. I think that Seattle will make a brief comeback. I think the final score is going to be Packers 31 and the Seahawks 13.
31-13? Are you mad?
Am I mad?
I just want to remind everyone that over the last 4 weeks that we've been doing picks here, Sam, Jesse, Sam, for who's been closest.
Okay.
So Sam is the one we should really be listening to. He says Packers 24, Seahawks 20.
Well, I'm just glad to see that the Packers have regained Sam's faith. I'm sure they feel good about that.
Sam the cashier here at Glenn's Market.
Absolutely. Thanks to everybody here at Glenn's Market and Catering. Thanks to Glenn. Thanks to Sam. Thanks to Jeff Hall for setting us up and making us sound good. Thanks to Leslie Young for running the board and making us sound good. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Brent Reed for the sweet ride of the week. Remember, it's a 2011 Dodge Journey. Just $9,000 at Reed Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Beaver Dam.
Believe in the Packers, Bill. You got to believe.
This is Green and Gold This Week, presented by Glenn's Market and Catering, live at Glenn's Market and Catering, 722 West Main Street in Watertown.